Let us worship God. Let us sing in Psalm 119. We are singing in Psalm 119. And once again, we are limiting our praises to three instead of four in the interests of health and time, in a sense. 119 and verses 1 to 8. Let us pray together. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, it is always a privilege for us to sing the Psalms, to be exposed to the teaching of Scripture generally, and to know that in the singing of these Psalms we are singing the words that God has placed in our mouths, without error, without contradiction, the true word of God, intended to be sung, intended to be memorized, intended for communal expression, the praises that God has placed in our very mouths, just as Christ has taught us how to pray, so the Lord has taught us how to sing. And we do rejoice, O God, that we are enabled to come to this place yet again, to open the Scriptures and to open our mouths in praises and prayer and in preaching, and to open our ears to listen and to open our hearts in order to receive and to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we gather here, help us to remember that while we are few in number, there are others joining with us on the internet and on the telephone. And so together we and they come again to the throne of grace. And all the others perhaps who are listening in or will listen in to these recorded messages and services, perhaps even from distant parts of the world, places that we are not aware of. And yet the Word of God is not bound by these closures at this particular time. So help us to be thankful that we have health and strength, that we have the inclination to come, that we have the ability and the liberty to come, that we are still permitted to come even with restrictions and rules applying to our gatherings. We give thanks that these wise restrictions are for our good and not for our harm. And so as we once again seek the face of God on this Holy Lord's Day morning, help us, O God, despite the circumstances, despite even the weather and the cold and the depression and discontentment that that can bring, yet we are thankful to come into the presence of God Most High. We pray for one another. We pray that we would be strengthened in the Lord. We pray for all the saints as we are commanded to do in the Scriptures. We pray for all the preachers of the gospel as we are commanded to do in the Scriptures. We pray for our enemies as we are commanded to do and as Christ himself did even on the cross, praying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing. And so we pray for our rulers over us in these times of difficult circumstances and difficult choices to make. The burdens that lay upon them, difficult for us to understand. As we hear them, we see their humanity, their weak frailty coming out. And we pray, Lord, that you would support them in their high office and in their great, influential, nationally important decisions. We pray for the churches at this time, that they would not be disheartened or discouraged, but remember the great and precious promises that all things do work together for good to those who love God, and that we would always remember that God is watching over Israel. He who watches over Israel, his people, in Old Testament times, in New Testament times, in our times, he neither slumbers nor sleeps. He takes care of his church as he has always done. He is well able to take care of his own people. And we remember that Christ has promised that he will build his church and that the gates of Hades and of death and hell itself will not prevail against it. And so we are encouraged by the Scriptures. We are encouraged by the promises. We are encouraged even by the warnings, by the rebukes. We are encouraged by the strictness with which our Lord Jesus Christ speaks to us. We are encouraged because we know that even in his sternest words, there is the great heart of compassion and understanding and a love to do us good and not harm. And so our desire this morning, O God, is to worship, to fall down before him who is our Maker, our great King, our Redeemer God, the one who speaks and is continually speaking to us in the Scriptures that we read. May we, O God, as we read the Scriptures and hear them expounded again this morning, may we remember that as we read, God is speaking. And insofar as we preach accurately, we are nothing more than God's mouthpieces, a voice in the wilderness. That is the preaching of the Word. So help us to rise to this holy occasion, to make it a happy event, not simply another religious service out of habit, but a community of fellowship in the Lord and with the Lord. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So may we enjoy this day, O God, and not only praise God, but enjoy God. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. May this be our experience today. May we enjoy the Lord's day and the Lord's people and the Lord's words to us. This, O God, is our prayer. We confess our sins. Once again, we seek mercy, and we confess our weakness, and we seek grace. For God's glory we pray, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We're going to read now in the Gospel according to Mark, and in Mark chapter 12, and we can begin to read at verse number 18 in Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, at verse 18, to the end of the chapter. Then came unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed. And the second took her and died, neither left he any seed, and the third likewise. And the seven had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spoke unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, wisely, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that dared ask him any question. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calls him Lord. And whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. And he said unto them in his doctrine, Beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. This is the old imperial British money. It seems very strange to us, mites and farthings, but I grew up with these terms. And he called unto them his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For they all did cast in of their abundance, but she out of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. And so on. Amen. And we now have the notices, which are very brief this morning. Our evening service, of course, at 6 o'clock this evening. And our Wednesday meeting, as usual, at 7 o'clock. Next Lord's Day, 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m., we welcome visitors. Always, we're glad to have you with us. And we just remind one another for the safe distancing, and the rules still apply and probably will apply for, well, who knows how long, but let's be careful of one another's health. And the offering will now be received. Well, let us continue then in Psalm 119 and verses 9 to 16. We read the second part of the Psalm, 119, from verse 9. By what means shall a young man learn his way to purify?